asking Tommy if he feels like he's running his legs off. I'd sing a verse, and he'd have to sit down, get up, But I feel like I am. I don't know about the rest of you. But thank you for being here this morning. It's good to see all of you. Really good to see all of you. Good to have you with us today. Don't forget that we have singing tonight, and James and Tommy are going to lead singing tonight. It's singing night, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to have singing night. So all of you come if you can. Help us out. Let's have a good service. We've got a good group this morning. Let's do that. Let's remember Steve. Is not feeling well at all today. Not able to be with us. And of course, Lily's not able to be with us. There may be others that we're not aware of, but let's remember to pray for all those who make up this number. Some who are gone, of course, and we miss them while they're gone. But as I said a moment ago, we don't begrudge people taking vacations this time of year. We don't do that. People need to do that from time to time. You know, in life, there are a lot of things about life that we may not understand. Some things we understand, though. Some things we know we can't do. We know from life that there are some things that we're just not, that are just not things that we can know for sure. Some things in life. That's the way life is. That we just won't know for sure. For instance, even the ones who do our weather, the weathermen, when they forecast certain things, that it's going to rain or something, it may not. They don't know for sure. They're looking at models and so on, computer models. And they're not able to tell a lot of times, and sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. And when they say that we're going to have severe storms, and maybe there's tornado warnings out there, which means that there should be one somewhere in the clouds or something, they don't know for sure whether it's going to hit or not until they see it. And they see it on the ground a lot of times. Now, maybe someday they'll be able to perfect their ability to do that, and they'll be able to tell us before they ever farm, before they ever hit the ground. But they're not able to do that now. So some things we don't know for sure. And even when they hit the ground, we don't know it's going to go in a straight line. It may turn right or it may turn left. It may lift. It may hit this house and not hit the next house. So we don't know those things for sure. So we try to be careful about that. And the floodwaters. We're having a lot of floods in the area now. And the floodwaters, and they're telling people you need to evacuate your home because it may flood. And it may or may not. And people may evacuate their homes and it may not ever flood. And people who were told they didn't need to, it may, because maybe one of the dams break or one of the different things that they have, one of the different things that they have, such as the burns and so on, they might break and something of that nature, which some of them have. Some of them have broken and it's flooded homes that they didn't think it was going to. And we don't know for sure about those things. We don't know for sure that they're going to last. But there are some things in life that we can know. And especially is that true in the spiritual realm. There are some things that we can know for sure. For instance, we can know for sure that Jesus came to this earth to take away our sins. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. Because God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son. That's something we can know for sure. And we can know that He was manifested to take away our sins, for in Him there is no sin. That's what's said in 1 John 3 and verse 5. So we can know that for sure, that Jesus Christ came to take away sins, and that He was manifested, or He was brought to this earth for you and for me. That's something we can know for sure. That's something that we can say, I know that for sure. And in chapter 4 and verse 13 of 1 John, another thing that we know for sure is that we live in Him and He lives in us. And that's a wonderful thing to contemplate. We don't have to guess about that. We don't have to just hope that that's so. But we know that that is so. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him. That's what John said. We dwell in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came and gave the Word. We believe the Word. We are obedient to the Word of Jesus Christ. And therefore we know that we live in Him and He lives in us. In 1 John 2, in chapter 2, he said, we know that we know Him because we keep His commandments. So we know those things. There are certain things that we can know in the realm of religion that maybe in other facets and other ways we don't know. We don't know for sure when Jesus Christ is going to come again, but we know for a certainty that He said He would. You see the difference? We don't know the time, but we know He's going to. We don't know when, the time that he's going to judge the world in righteousness, but we know that he's going to because he said he was going to. We know that he's going to come with his angels in flaming fire and render vengeance to them that know not God. We know that because he said it. We don't know the time, but we know that for a fact that he's going to do that because he keeps his promises. We know that God does not lie. He does not lie. He does not tell falsehoods. God doesn't tell us something that he's not going to do. And God has proved that over the centuries by keeping all of his promises, like the promises in the Old Testament. So we know that for a fact, and we know that God loves us. Not because we just think he might, but because the Bible very clearly says he does. We have known and believed the love that God has for us because God is love, John said in 1 John 4 and verse 16. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So God is love. We know that for a fact. And that's why we believe in God so loved the world. Because God is love. And we can dwell in him because of the love that he has for us and the love that we have for him. And we know that for a fact. And we know that he dwells in us because he loves us. And when we keep his commandments, we know that we know him, as I pointed out just a moment ago. In 1 John 5 and verse 2, there's another thing that we can know for sure. We can know for sure that the love of God is seen in his word, and he's given his word so we'll know how we ought to live. We don't have to guess about that. How do we prove our love for God? How do we know how we ought to live? Well, the things that we know and the reason we ought to love is because God loves us, but the reason that we do these things is because God has given them to us. By this, John said, by this, talk about the word, the written word. By this we knew that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. We know that we are the children of God. That's something we can know. Somebody might say, well, I hope I'm a child of God. Well, you can know whether or not you are. How can you know that? Because you keep his commandments. That's what he was talking about in chapter 2. He said, we know that we know him if we keep his word or keep his commandments. So it's something we can know. It's a wonderful thing, folks, to realize that we can put the serenity of our mind upon the love that we have for God. We love him and we keep his commandments, and they're not grievous to us because of what happens when we do. That's 1 John 5 and verse 3. So we know that we can do the things of God, and we know that when we do those things of God, God will love us for doing them. We know that, and it's a confidence that we have. Look at 1 John 5 and verse 14. We know because we have confidence. We know that God hears us. He hears everything we say. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, he said. John said. He's going to listen to us. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we know he'll listen to us. You know, sometimes you want people to listen to you, you're trying to talk to them, and finally you say, listen. And maybe they do or maybe they don't. You can tell with their eyes they're really not listening to you. They're not comprehending anything you say because their mind is somewhere else. You want them to listen to you. Well, I'll tell you, it is usually the fact that mothers and fathers will listen to their children. We listen to our mother and father. We listen to them because we know they have wisdom and so on. But even if they don't listen to us, we know that God will. That's a wonderful promise of God, folks. That's something we can know for sure, that God listens to us. And then we have this confidence that he'll hear us. And it produces confidence. That's the reason I said a moment ago, there's a serenity of mind in people who serve the Lord. That serenity of mind is a security that they have, like that security blanket that children have sometimes and they hold on to. It is a security that we have, knowing that we're serving the Lord, knowing that when we stand before Jesus the day of judgment, he'll not put us on his left hand, but he'll put us on his right hand. And he'll say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We know that he'll say, come, and he'll hold his hand out to us and take us and embrace us and take us to heaven to live with him. That's something we know. We can know. But it only comes because we have confidence in God. And the confidence is what causes us to serve the Lord. Someone says, well, I go to church because I want to go to heaven when I die. But the confidence you have that causes you to attend services because you want to go to heaven. You have confidence that the Lord said, if you're faithful until you die, I'll give you the crown of life. That's confidence you have. You don't necessarily do that because God commands you to do it, but you do it because you believe it and have confidence in it. And it transcends the command. Yes, you may have started serving the Lord because of the command. Because you know that you're to love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's right. But you may grow in your spiritual acumen to the point that someday you'll serve the Lord and you'll love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's automatic. And you have confidence because you do that God will keep His word. So there are some things we can know for sure. I think that's what John's talking about in 1 John. He's trying to get those who are children of God to have a confidence that maybe they didn't have before. And that confidence comes because we know that Christ came to this earth. And that God commended His own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that for a fact. And that causes a confidence. It builds up confidence as we know what God has done. We've seen what God has done for us. And we have confidence that He'll continue to do what He says He's going to do. We understand that particular principle in life. You have somebody that works for you. Somebody maybe that cuts your grass or something like that. Maybe they work on some of your equipment or whatever it is. And you use the same person time after time because he has built up confidence in you. You have confidence that he or she are going to do what they said they were going to do. And you have that confidence because you've seen them. You've seen them fulfill their pledge, their promise. God has made a promise to us that if we'll be faithful till we die, He'll give us the crown of life. Do we have confidence in that? Do we believe that? Yes. Why? Because we've seen all the things or read all the things that God has done. And we realize He's always been faithful to His people. That's one of the reasons we read the Old Testament. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Paul says in Romans 15:4, that through patience or steadfastness, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. It comforts us when we read the Old Testament. We don't read the Old Testament because we want to memorize all those progeny. All those names. We might not ever memorize those. And we might not know where every verse is. But the fact of the matter is, we read the Old Testament and look at it because in the Old Testament, we see what God has done for His people. When they were faithful, what God did for them. And the blessings He bestowed upon them. And we understand He'll do the same for us. It produces a confidence in it to see what God has done. You hire somebody to mow your grass. And he comes and said, I'll mow your yard. I'll mow your yard. I'll do it cheaper than anybody else. I'll mow yours for $10. Well, that ought to tell you something if he tells you $10. But if you allow him to do it and you find out here's a patch to stick it up here and here's one cut clear to the ground over here and all this kind of thing and doesn't weed eat or anything else, how many times are you going to have him back for $10? No, you're going to have somebody else. Then you hire somebody else to do it, and he drives up with his pickup, and he's got all these good machines out there, and he gets out, and he goes around, and it looks immaculate. That's the person you're going to hire the next time. Maybe he's going to charge you $30 or $40, but you're willing to pay that because it's going to look good. And I'm not saying you can't mow your own yard. I'm just using an example here. But it looks good, so you use him time after time after time, or her, and there are some women that do. You use them time after time because they built up confidence. You have confidence in them because of what they've done. That's what John's talking about here. We have this confidence in Him. We have it in Him because we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He's going to listen to us. We don't have to pull on His pants leg and hope He's listening. You ever seen a little child pulling on mom's dress or her pants leg? Maybe they're in a store, and mom, mom, and she's busy doing something else. Mom, mom, mom. And she takes her hand, flips it like this, quit doing that. Maybe doesn't even talk to the child.
But the child wants to say something to mom. Mom's not paying attention to it. You don't have to do that with the Lord, folks. You can draw near with boldness, the Hebrew writer said, unto the throne of grace, that you may find grace and find mercy to help you in time of need. You can draw near with boldness. In other words, you can come without any timidity. And that simply means you don't have to fear. You don't have to shake when you come before the Lord because He wants to listen to you. Sometimes maybe when we go out to get a new job and we interview for the job, we're a little bit nervous. Maybe our knees are just shaking just a little bit. We do that. We have that feeling in the pit of the stomach because I really need this job. But after you worked at that job for a long time and you know the one that owns the company or whatever thing, and you get to where he has confidence in you and you have confidence in him, you go into his office or her office and you can talk to them and your legs don't shake anymore. Why? Because there's a confidence. You've worked with them for a while. That's what John's talking about. We have this confidence that when we talk to God, He'll hear. We can draw near with boldness. And why? Because He wants to hear. What was it? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You see, He wants to listen. He wants you to come. He's not holding His hands out there and says, "Stay away." He wants you to come. He's not hitting you here because He doesn't want to listen to what you have to say. He wants to hear every word you say. And He'll stop doing anything that He's doing at that time to listen to you. And that's why you can draw near with boldness under the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace and to help you in time of need. And the word grace means favor. He wants to favor you. And so you have this confidence in the Lord and confidence in God. This is something we can know for sure, folks. This confidence. I used to play sports. Some of you played sports before. But I used to play sports, and we would get ready for a game, and maybe we were playing a team that was really good. They were every bit as good as we were. And the coach would keep telling us, "We can do this, we can do this." And sometimes we went out and played with the confidence that He had instilled in us, and we did it. Sometimes we didn't play like we should, and we didn't. But that's not going to happen in our service to God. There are not times when we can't expect God to listen to us, and other times when we expect He can't. If we have this confidence, we know that He's going to. So some things we can know, folks, in the realm of religion. We can know we're going to heaven. Yes, we can. If we keep His commandments. We can know we'll receive the crown of life. As the Apostle Paul said, "The reason I fought the good fight and finished the course and kept the faith is because there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give it to me in that day." He didn't say, "I hope He will." He said, "He will. He'll give it to me in that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved His fear." He will do that. We can know that, folks. Because Jesus came to this earth to give us eternal life, and we can know that. In 1 John 5 and verse 20, John said, "And we know that the Son of God has come." I said that earlier, didn't we? Know that Christ has come. And the word "know" there in the Greek means to have an intimate knowledge of, intimate relationship, intimate knowledge of. You know it intimately. You know it inside. It's not just something that's said, but you know it inside that is true. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. He's given us that understanding. That's why we know it. We understand it. We know it. Have you ever asked somebody, "Do you know how to do this?" Maybe you're going to hire somebody to build a fence or what. "Do you know how to do this?" And they say, "Well, I don't know. I may go by the library and get me one of those books at the bookstore. I'll get one of those books that tells me how." And you think, "Ooh, that's not the one I want to use." Do you know? What John is telling these people, they ought to know that they're children of God. We know that the Son of God has come, and He's given us an understanding that He's come. We understand that because all that's written in the Word of God about the Son of God coming to this earth and dying for our sins. And we know that He tells the truth. We know Him that is true. "I am the way," Jesus said, "the truth and the life. I am the way. I am the truth." We know that He's true. We know that.
even the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. To know this, to have this understanding. That's why I said we can know we're going to go to heaven. We can know that we're going to have eternal life. We can know that we're going to spend eternity or have eternity with God Almighty. We can know all of that. You can know that if you serve Him.